Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 2, from the verse number 1 to the verse number 7.
For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
I would like you to listen to the reading of a passage from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 20, from the verse number 17, a few verses.
And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?
In all four Gospel books, some of that great battle that our Lord Jesus was battling has been revealed to us. And then, in the end of that awful suffering, in the Gospel according to John chapter 19, in the verse number 30, the Lord said, It is finished. It has been of great meaning, great importance for all the disciples until this day, and I believe it will be important for every single saved, delivered, redeemed person until the end of this generation, until the coming of the Lord. For all of us, it is very important to understand as much as we can how great a conflict the Lord had for us. I can say for myself personally, I'm still far, far away from understanding the fullness, far from having the complete knowledge and awareness of all that the Lord has suffered. I think I know only a microscopic part. I think the knowledge of the price of our salvation, our redemption, should help us to understand how precious, how valuable is every soul. The more we appreciate all that the Lord has done for us, the less likely are we to be negligent, light-minded concerning that value. And the more we understand of the Lord's suffering and the zeal and labor of the apostles, the more we realize our need to pray for deeper gratitude, higher reverence, and greater zeal for the Lord. And the less likely we are to become aimless, depressed on the way of faith and salvation. And here in the beginning of the chapter 2, the epistle to the Colossians, Paul had a desire that the disciples to whom he addressed this epistle might realize how great is his, Paul's, conflict, battle for them, for all that have not seen his face, just as we have not seen his face in the flesh. Knowing Paul's labor of love in the Lord, their hearts might be comforted and get more closely knit together in love, and instead of being impoverished by self-pity, we could be reunited in love and zeal for the Lord and experience more of that richness, the wealth of the full assurance of understanding. The more we become familiar with this struggle, this battle, this labor of love and self-denial, the more we get assured in our heart and mind that we are understanding, not yet all, but more and more, of that wisdom from above. And then we willingly, freely, openly acknowledge that the whole gospel of the Lord, all of the apostolic ministry, is a great mystery. The grandeur of that mystery is way beyond the limits of our understanding. And yet, as the Lord is revealing to us, we understand more and more, and we grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, the essence and the core of the gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The mystery is becoming more and more of a splendid revelation. We get to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ more and more, and in Him the person and the character of the Heavenly Father more and more. It is not only helpful to us, it is not only bringing more peace and greater joy in the spirit of our Savior, it is also making us aware that the value and the greatness of the gospel outweighs, exceeds everything that the world can offer, and no one should be able, by some enticing words, by some apparently attractive teaching, flattering interpretations, to attract us to anything else that is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the apostles are not in the flesh among us today. We are not alone. The Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is with us. As Paul said here in the verse number 5 to the Colossians, "Though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." In his thoughts, in his spirit, in his mind, the Apostle Paul is every day with the Colossians and with all the disciples to whom he preached and the others that he did not preach to in person. And the Lord Jesus Christ told us in Matthew the last words, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The Lord is not losing this battle. He is never defeated. And lest we ourselves get defeated, we need to see Him in our faith, in our understanding, to see Him victorious in every battle, even today. And with that awareness, we are looking forward to His return, excited about His triumphant coming. Paul said that he was rejoicing, beholding the steadfastness of the faith of Colossians, the faith in Christ. And sometimes I wonder, when I'm not steadfast, when I'm defeated, is that by the faith in Christ or by the lack of it? Paul is testifying about the Colossians, that they had good order and they were steadfast in their faith in Christ. And yet in the verse number 2, we can see that they needed some additional comfort. They needed to share among themselves the understanding of the gospel and the fruits of the Spirit of Christ our Savior, that their hearts might be united one with another. They had love for all the saints. They needed love among themselves, everyone with everyone in his local congregation. In the verse number 6, Paul is encouraging the Colossians, as they received Christ Jesus the Lord, so to walk in him. How did they receive him? They believed the gospel, and they received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and obedience to the word of God. And now in this verse number 6, they're encouraged, urged to continue. And not only that, but in the verse number 7, be rooted and built up in him. Keep growing, deeply rooted in the word of God, and keep growing, not growing being shallow-minded. We need that stability in the faith and the abundance of thanksgiving for all the goodness and grace of God toward us in Christ Jesus our Savior. At times we might feel that we are pretty well established in the faith. We have no doubts, no fears, no depression of any kind. We might feel good about ourselves. And if that is the truth, that we are established in the faith, what a blessing, that's wonderful. But if we are having some seeming stability in our spiritual life because there is no persecution, because there are no testings or trials, we might be living in some illusion. Just listen to this testimony of the Apostle Paul concerning the Macedonian believers in the second epistle to the Corinthians, beginning of the chapter 8.
Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints.
Experiencing peace and joy in the difficult times, that is a wonderful, marvelous experience of Christ's presence in our hearts, in our daily walk. That means we are given grace to look beyond the difficulties of this present time into the wonderful truth of the gospel. Our Lord is victorious. He is victorious in the world by everything that is taking place against the wickedness and violence and all the evil that is in the world. But he is also victorious in our hearts, in our minds. We are rejoicing in him, even though we are having difficulties, even though we are aware of our weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, misunderstandings. We also daily experience the abundance of his goodness and grace that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. First 7 verses of this chapter 2 in the epistle to the Colossians are a very short passage, a small part of this epistle, and yet when we look through that, we can make quite an extensive prayer list. The Lord Jesus Christ is opening the wealth of the heavenly treasure to the prayerful seekers of his gifts and blessings. Yes, I do believe that we should pray for more of the comfort of the Spirit of Christ, more unity in his pure heavenly love. I believe we should seek in our prayers that the Lord would give us full assurance of understanding his word, understanding his mysteries, receiving his revelations. And indeed, it is a great mystery of God, the Father revealed in the Son promised and confirmed by the Father and the Son eternally one. we should pray for the blessing of growing in the knowledge of that treasure of wisdom, Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We should pray to the Father to keep us from attraction of deception and make us aware of evil snares offered by enticing words of Satan's slaves. We should pray that the Lord keep us in full awareness that we are in the fellowship of the prophets and of the apostles. It is the fellowship of Christ the Savior with His bride that He has redeemed and delivered from the world of darkness. We should continually pray that the Lord teach us good order in our daily walk and to make us steadfast in our faith in Him, our Savior. In our daily prayers, we should ask the Lord, as He is guiding us on the path of righteousness and salvation, that we walk in the light of His truth, that we grow in faith, and that we bring forth those fruits pleasing Him. And the closer we are to the moment of meeting the Lord Jesus face to face, the more grateful to be. Soon we are to join the ever-blessed congregation of worshippers around the throne of God. And the Lord is answering the prayers that He has conceived, generated in the hearts of His children. In spite of difficulties, in spite of conflicts, even in the continual, frequent battling against the powers of darkness, the life in Christ is a beautiful life. It is a blessed life. It is the path to everlasting glory.